Welcome back to another episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. I'm very excited for you to hear this episode, especially if your main goal is and has for the most part always been fat loss, but you also want to build muscle, and the main thing preventing you from doing it is the fear of gaining weight back and ruining all your progress. I speak with Inner Circle member Diana, who, if you've been listening for a while, I spoke to her about 60 days ago because I gave her a challenge to switch to maintenance to increase her calories from fat loss and do a maintenance phase for 60 days. She's done that, and now she's recapping what her results were, her progress, her mindset, and what she's doing going forward. And if you didn't listen to that episode yet, go back and listen to it. It's called Transferring from Fat Loss to Maintenance. And then this episode is going to show you how much she's overcome, how much progress she's made, and how worth it it's been to overcome that fear of gaining weight.
Hello?
Diana.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I am delightful. We're gonna dive right into this. So first, thank you for just talking to me about the Inner Circle for like 15-20 minutes. I appreciate it.
That's all right.
And now, just in case people don't remember, the last time you and I spoke on a podcast was when you were transferring into a maintenance phase.
Yeah.
And the challenge was you were going to do maintenance for 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
After spending a lot of time focused on fat loss, and you were nervous about it, but you were committed to it.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to let you take over and basically just do me a favor and first walk us through, number one, what you were feeling at the end of the last podcast when you decided you were going to go for 60 days on maintenance. And then number two, like what happened over or after that?
Cool. So it's been an interesting time ever since we spoke last. Last time when we spoke, you challenged me to stay in maintenance for 60 days. That terrified the shit out of me. Like, honestly, I when you said 60 days, I was like, nah, why are you fucking with me? I really thought you would give me like a week. But 60 days seemed like a push. The thing is, it wasn't completely unheard of, but I thought, like, I'm not that person to do that. Also because I hadn't reached my ultimate goal weight. So I thought, like, I don't deserve to be in maintenance yet, especially not for that long. So I had a lot of mental struggles with it. And I honestly, I didn't know if I was going to commit to it when we got off the phone. I was like, okay, this guy is obviously a lunatic, so we'll see how this goes. But let's just start. I was anxious because I have been the picture girl of what you speak about a lot of times, that you're in a perpetual state of fat loss all the time. And that's been me for the last 6 years, ever since I started training seriously. It's always been fat loss, fat loss, fat loss, take a break, and just have like this fuck this shit mentality and just eat everything in sight. And at the end of all that, I basically ended up gaining 15 kgs, which is like 30 pounds or something. So that obviously didn't work. So I thought, okay, what I've done in the past has been shit and been basically shooting myself in the foot all the time. So let's just give this guy a go, okay? Because obviously, ever since I joined Inner Circle, everything's been great. So, you know, if anything gets fucked up, I can at least blame him. So it's all right. So I think one of the hardest part was like just finding that balance in between fat loss and fuck it all. And that's where you have maintenance and actually just track your calories, but you're not as strict as you are in fat loss, but you're also not eating everything in sight. And I think the hardest part was to understand that loosening control didn't mean letting go of control. It just allowed you to be a little bit more relaxed. And I really found that like a big mindset struggle. And I think in the beginning, I did struggle quite a lot. My mind still wanted me to be in a deficit. Like I kept telling myself, like, oh, but yeah, maybe if you hit maintenance by accident, then it's okay. But still aim for fat loss, because the overall goal is still fat loss. So just, you know, it wouldn't be too bad. But then I kind of ended up being back in my old cycles. Like, I would have some days where I was still in a deficit, and other days where I went over my calories by like 500 calories. And I was like, okay, obviously I am not following Jordan's recommendations here, so I need to start to shape up here. So it took me quite a while. And I think also the main factor in that was you kind of tell yourself you're going to regain all the weight that you've lost during that fat loss phase. And within like the first few days, I did gain some weight, but logically I know that was because I had increased my carbs and calories overall. So obviously I was going to retain more water and stuff, but I would literally stand in front of the mirror and think, oh my fucking God, I've just undone 6 months of, you know, deficit gains. This is just terrible. What am I doing? And also during this whole fat loss period, I've kind of made some mental gains where I challenged myself to be a lot more comfortable in my body, like walking out in crop tops. And if anyone out there is as unknowing about fashion as Jordan is, a crop top is basically a t-shirt that is slightly shorter and shows your midsection and your belly button, basically. And for some reason, that was like a big hurdle for me. So once I got up to maintenance and got a little bit fluffier, I thought, okay, well, obviously I can't walk around like this now anymore, because I can't justify it. But that quickly kind of turned around. So by the end of it, like now I'm back into my crop top game. I don't give a fuck. I'm back in my shorts game. I'm showing everything.
I fucking really love you.
So we've overcome that. But that is something to be aware of in the first few weeks when anyone transfers into maintenance, because I think that little voice in your head that keeps telling you like, oh, you're gaining fat and you haven't done anything, like you're basically undoing all your work, is going to be there, but you just kind of have to fight against it. I think that was the hardest thing. And then another thing that I didn't really anticipate was like the lack of a real definite goal during a maintenance phase. That can be like an absolute mind fuck with you, because when you're in fat loss or when you're in a deficit, your ultimate goal is to lose fat. And where you're in a surplus, your ultimate goal is to gain muscle. So it's pretty straightforward. In maintenance, you're just maintaining. You're standing still, basically. And that in itself is quite demotivating. Like, oh, I'm just supposed to be here now and just live? It was too much of a gray area for me. Like, I couldn't cope with that. So I felt like I was quite lost for a few weeks. Until me and my wonderful rainbow unicorn Chica sat down and ironed out some new goals, because she was literally falling into a maintenance phase at the same time as I did. So we were going through the same kind of struggles. So what we basically decided was that the main goal during a maintenance phase has to be strength gains. That's the only thing that's going to keep you going, because if you just are in a phase without any goals, like, you're not going to be motivated to keep going, especially when you have such strong goals in fat loss or in muscle gain. Just standing still in a fitness lifestyle, it's a total mind fuck. So I struggled with that for several weeks, actually. And I think it wasn't until I started to set like real goals and accepted that I still need to be controlling my calories that I started making actual progress. So that took me about 3 weeks, I'd have to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. And so, yeah. I mean, that in and of itself, the idea that you're not just going to immediately be a pro at it, and getting comfortable with the idea of, hey, the next 2 to 4 weeks are going to be a big learning phase. In the same way that when you first started really understanding what being in a deficit was like and tracking your calories, like, oh shit, like this is not what I imagined. Like, I'm getting hungry. Like, maybe my energy is down. Like, everything's a learning curve. So just the fact that you're saying, hey, going into maintenance is a learning curve in and of itself.
Oh yeah.
Is really important to know.
I really think so, because you think that going into maintenance is going to be so much easier because first of all, you get to eat more, so you're going to be fuller. And you don't have to focus on like the scale going down or measurements going down. It's just you can relax. But it's easy to completely lose track when you relax. So it's about finding control in a gray area and in an environment that is slightly more relaxed. And I think that's even more difficult, almost. Not even more. Like, every stage has its own difficulties, but you don't realize how difficult it is until you actually get there. So I don't think any phase is going to be as easy as you first think it might be. Like, oh, I'll stay in a deficit for a while and lose some fat. Or I stay in a maintenance phase and I'll just stay here and relax for a bit before I go into either a fat loss or a muscle gain phase again. So all of them definitely come with their own like struggles, I'd have to say.
I think what you really hit on, that's one of the most important parts of maintenance specifically, is fat loss has the benefit of, like, when you're being in a deficit to lose fat, it has the benefit of knowing that if you're doing it right, you'll be losing fat.
Yeah.
But in maintenance, you have the inherent mental obstacle of overcoming that you're not going to be losing fat, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And it's funny because mentally we'll go from I'm not losing fat, but I still haven't reached my fat loss goal yet.
Yeah.
So does this mean I'm actually going backwards? And that is where so much of the mental struggle of maintenance comes in, because from the practical perspective of eating more calories and like having all that stuff, it's great. But from the mental perspective, emotional perspective of, but I'm still not where I want to be yet. That's where like that huge battle comes in, where it's like, well, you know what? I'll still eat in a deficit. Da, da, da. It's like, well, hold on. You're not actually doing it then.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So you said that the big thing for you was coming up with a strength related goal.
Yeah.
And I think that is, I literally spoke about it in this month's Inner Circle in terms of coming up with a performance based goal on what your body can do rather than always focusing on trying to lose fat. And you'll eventually end up doing both.
Yeah.
What did you decide on? What strength goals did you decide on, and how has that helped you?
So I focus on like increasing my deadlifts, basically, because it's my favorite lift of all time, and
it is the best lift of all time. It is,
of course, it is. Like you say, it's equivalent to sex. I say it's better than sex. Like deadlifts are shit. But the thing is, like, so I set my goal since the beginning of this year has been 100 kgs. But I kind of revised that as well. So I do want to still hit 100 kgs, but I have to do it with the correct form. Because as you know, I've already done 100 kgs once, and I showed you the video. I can lift a weight, but I'm not doing it correctly. So that's all I focused on during this phase, was lifting as much weight as possible with as good a form as I possibly can do. So even if that meant for me to reduce the weight, like eventually within 2-3 weeks, I managed to go back up in weight, but with a lot better form. So that for me was like my major overall goal. And then I also focused on like improving my back strength so that I can get my first pull up eventually. So I haven't done any tremendous amount of gains here in any lifts or anything. But then again, it's been 60 days. What can we expect? You have to be realistic here as well. But I do feel like my mindset has been set to focus on, you know, only strength and doing it with the right form and not just chasing, you know, okay, my 100 kgs, but for what? Like, I need to do it correctly as well. So setting that, and I literally haven't, I've stayed away from the scale, stayed away from any measuring tapes. Like, I haven't been tracking anything like that. I'm literally just going by how I feel and how I look like in the mirror. And funny thing is, now that I've been here for like plus 60 days in maintenance, my abs are coming back. Like, I am getting my definition back again. And all of that fluffiness that I had in the first 2 weeks is absolutely gone. Because obviously my body has readjusted now, and I'm obviously building muscle again. So something is right, going right. And I think another thing that I did that as a mistake initially was to... throughout this past 3 years, I've been doing intermittent fasting. And I thought, okay, with maintenance coming up, I can just let go of all type of control. So, you know, fuck IF. But that didn't really help me at all. Like, introducing breakfast and stuff kind of messed me up even more. And that led me to, like, go over in calories quite a lot of times. So I found that keeping, like, the same structure as you have in your deficit regimen, but in maintenance as well, gives you, like, structure to your to what you're pursuing and to your day. Because if you mess things, like, if you turn things upside down just because you go into a new phase, then it's going to take a lot longer for you to land back into it, you know. So that's one thing that I felt like, I'll stick to what I've done, but I just increase my either meal size or add more fats or things like that, and not go down to a 50-50 rule and still keep my 80-20 of, you know, not going completely bananas on all the treats just because I'm in maintenance now.
Well, that's really good insight, and I'm glad you brought it up, because if you try and change everything at once,
yeah,
you're not only will it be overwhelming, but you also won't know what actually worked.
Exactly.
Right? Like, if you're changing every, if you're changing meal frequency, if you're changing calories, if you're changing training, if you're changing, like, what, how you're measuring it, you won't know what is actually making the change or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the fact that you recognize that and then went back to it is incredible. And I want to just backtrack for 1 second, because something you said was huge. You said that now that you've been doing it consistently, you're actually, you're starting to see your abs come back. Mm. Even though you're eating more calories than you were when you were in a deficit.
Yeah.
And so you're eating more towards maintenance calories. You have had days where you've gone over, but you're starting to see your abs come back. And the interesting thing about this is, whether you realize it or not, you've essentially been doing what's called body recomposition, right? Where it's like, some days you've been a little bit over, some days you've been a little bit under, you're trying to eat more towards maintenance. And what that means is, you've had some days where your body's more towards a building muscle state because you're in a calorie surplus. Other days where it's more towards fat loss and the calorie deficit, but neither massively drastic in either direction.
Mm.
And you've been able to, over the last 60 days plus now, build muscle and burn fat, which is like, if you were only focused on fat loss, then you would have only done that. If you were only focused on muscle gain, you would have only done that. Maybe add a little bit extra fat. This way, you've literally built muscle and burned fat over the course of 60 days. So your body composition has improved, but most people don't have the patience for this.
Yeah, I know. And I think also when you, like, when you have a picture in mind of what you want to look like for me, it's always been like very lean and muscular. And I realized I will never get to that if I only stay in a deficit all the time, because then I don't give myself an opportunity to build muscle. So being at maintenance or surplus is essential to achieve the body that I want to have it, like, at the end of the day.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. And it's one of those things where it's easy to say.
Yeah.
It's difficult to do, because people, a lot of times, as you know, they get nervous that, oh my God, I'm all of a sudden going to gain all this weight back and fat back. And just by you sticking to this for 60 days, you've realized that not only did you not gain and lose your progress, you actually made more progress. You got stronger. You spent more time focusing on your technique and your strength. Now you're gonna go way past 100 kgs with perfect form. Like, that's just gonna happen without question.
Hell yes.
Like, seriously, it's no question. And then, and you've also, over this process, gained. I really encourage anyone listening to go back to listen to the episode transferring from fat loss to maintenance, because you're going to hear the difference in how Diana's speaking about this process of going from fat loss to maintenance. And now you said you want to continue in maintenance. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I've added 30 days to the 60 day challenge. So I'm going to essentially do 90 days, 3 months of maintenance. And I think now that I've gone through this whole phase, I know the effects of it, and I know I'm not going to massively gain weight by increasing my calories, which makes it a lot easier to plan ahead. So now I will confidently, like, put in cycles of fat loss for a set number of weeks and maintenance for a set number of weeks, and maybe even surplus for a set number of weeks, because now I'm confident that that process actually works. And, you know, you just have to have faith in it and give it a little bit of time. And one major thing that I learned throughout this was just to keep it simple. Like, first of all, I think one thing that I denied myself of in the beginning to change my calories in my Fitness Pal. So I still stayed at 1600, but I was mentally aiming for 2000 or 2100. But that I realized later on that that's me actually cheating myself because I'm not actually committing to it. So it felt like I was almost afraid of letting it go. Like, oh, but I still kind of want to be in fat loss. But then once I finally changed it, it was such a relief because now I know my goal is 2000 and that's what I'm going to hit no matter what. Okay, so no days under and no days above, essentially. Like, just commit to this. Because whenever you keep it lower and then just, oh, mentally want to aim for a higher number, you feel like you're failing all the time because obviously my Fitness Pal will show you, like, your numbers in red, like, oh, you've gone over by 400 or 300 or whatever. Mentally, that gets to you a lot more than you'd think. So that physically just changing it is you just actually committing, like, fine, this is it. Like, I'm doing this, 2000, that's it. And I'm not changing anything around it. I'm sticking to my guidelines and my routines, my meal frequencies. The only thing literally that's changing is the amount of calories I'm eating. And my training regimen stays the same. I think that's the easiest way to transfer into maintenance and make it actually work for you.
I think everything you're saying is a very high level dieter. Like the transition that I've seen from you over the past however many months or over a year now or so is incredible. And the way that you're speaking is very much just like it's a different person. And it's crazy. It's unbelievable. I wish we had our first ever conversation recorded. But
yeah.
Everything you're saying is great. Awesome. And the one thing that I want to hit on is how you said that you were in the beginning, if you were under your calories, you were like sort of okay with it because you still technically wanted to lose fat, but you ended up calling yourself on your own bullshit. And you were saying, listen, like this is not my goal right now. And if I'm not hitting my numbers, if I'm not getting high enough, then I'm actually not doing what I said I was going to do. And I can't get the results because I'm not doing what I said I was going to do. Yeah. And you forced yourself to go up. And most people would not do that. Mm. Most people would be like, I'll stay in a deficit. And then they would get upset that they weren't getting the results that they wanted and then change and do something else. So the fact that you were objective enough to call yourself on your bullshit and push outside your comfort zone and say, you know what? I know emotionally I want to be in a deficit, but logically and towards my long-term goal, I need to eat more. And the fact that you did it is incredible. And that's why you're being so successful.
Yeah, it's been a huge mindset shift for me. Like just accepting that I don't have to be in a fat loss all the time. Because literally it's been 6 years of only fat loss and me gaining weight. And that's not working, you know, I'm not getting any closer to my goal. So letting go and just focus on one thing, it felt very liberating, like, and actually just give up my wanting to control everything and just, okay, no, I'm just trusting this. Like Jordan hasn't failed me yet. So why would he? So everything's worked so far. And I'm so happy that I actually committed to it and instead of just still trying to aim for a deficit. Because it wouldn't have gotten me to the place where I am now, where I'm so much stronger, both physically, emotionally, and mentally. And I think the main thing is I'm not scared of it anymore. I'm not scared of going into maintenance or eating more for a while. It's not going to ruin my progress. I'm not going to gain 150 pounds in 2 weeks. Like, it's not going to happen. And that's literally what you kind of see happening in your head all the time. But it won't. So it's okay, you know, you can eat more and still pursue the body goals.
I literally just checked the timestamp on what you were saying because that sound bite of what you just said, like that like 30-second sound bite, I don't think you realize that 30-second sound bite is going to calm the mind of thousands of people. Like people are going to listen to that and just take a big breath and just go, oh, I needed to hear that. That was like what you just said. I don't know if you realize it was what everybody needs to hear and be reinforced in them. So I'm going to take that soundbite because it was incredible. One really important question that I have for you about all of this is, let's say, did you have any days where you went significantly over your calories?
I think the most would be probably 600 calories over.
Some people would say they went over 600 calories and they would cry and lose their shit and be like, oh my God, what happened? What do you do if you go over by 600 calories the following day?
Like, I literally just went by as nothing had happened. And I think the mindset shift was that, okay, I'm eating more, but that's only going to go towards building muscle or towards fueling my workout, because they always happened around my workout days. So I just decided to think of it as, okay, this is just going to fuel my trainings and I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to lift more weight. I didn't change anything the day after. Like, I obviously reduce my calories and not eat 2,600 calories the day after again. I'd aim for maintenance instead. But other than that, I wouldn't stress myself out too much about it, because, yeah, I might have gone on the scale and seen, like, a kilo extra, but the day after that, that extra kilo was gone again. So I knew it wasn't fat. It was just water retention or extra carbs or whatever, you know?
It's funny because you say it like it's like, and it's just like, obviously, but you know that so many people, and even maybe yourself previously, like,
myself,
you go over by 600 and the emotional response would be, oh my God, now I have to weigh under eat the following day. But now you know that's ridiculous. And for everybody who's not on the kilos, it's like a kilo up is over 2 pounds up the following day. And she doesn't give a shit, because it doesn't matter, because you know you don't gain 2 pounds plus of fat overnight.
Like, a year ago, that would have devastated me and thrown me into a binge, and like, I would be in a fuck it all type of mentality for at least 2 to 3 weeks until I got back on the game again. But now it doesn't faze me anymore, and I don't think I would have gotten to this point unless I actually went through this whole phase. Like, it's so easy to say it once you've like lived through it, and logically it's easy to say, but unless you've actually experienced it, you won't actually believe in it. And I think that's where I was before. Like, I would hear people talk about maintenance or surplus, but I would be like, yeah, but that's you. That's not me. Like, that doesn't happen to me. Like, if I gain 2 pounds, that will stay on my body, until it didn't, because that's just not how the body works. And why would I be special when the laws of physics apply to everybody?
So many amazing sound bites in this. Holy shit. Everybody, you would not believe how many people are like, no, when I gain 2 pounds, it stays on my body. Everybody thinks that until it doesn't. And because they actually trust the process. Yeah. Like, what you just said was perfect. It's so it's true. It's just straight up true. Diana, is there anything that you want to end with, that you want to share with anyone else, that, like, if there's anything that you want them to know, is there anything that before we sign off that you want other people to know? Is there anything else that you would like other people to have the information?
Yeah, the only thing I would say is, it's going to be scary. Like, any transition is scary. Going into fat loss is scary for the first time. And this will also be scary. But it's all right. Like, you will be fine. If I can be fine at the end of this, anyone can. And honestly, if anyone wants to reach out to me and ask me of how, like, any struggles that I went through, like, I'm happy to talk to anybody. But you will be okay. Just trust the process. Honestly, just trust the process.
I love it. And so you and I are obviously going to get on another podcast and talk more about your journey, because it's just incredible. But next 30 days maintenance, after that, you're going to either go in towards fat loss again or figure something else out. What is your goal over the next 30 days or so?
For the next 30 days, I literally just want to focus on performing the best that I can in the gym. So I just started on your deadlift domination program, which is 6 weeks. So that kind of correlates well with what I'm doing right now. So I just want to be a fucking badass in the gym, deadlift some heavy ass shit, and just blow everybody's mind.
I fucking love it.
Have even more people come up to me and say, your deadlifts are fucking awesome. And be like, I know,
I love it. And actually, so I'm glad that you brought that up. We're going to have one more thing before I let you go. I know you have a lot going on and you're busy, and I appreciate you doing this on a Sunday. The one thing that we brought up about deadlift domination on the phone before, you were nervous about how there were fewer total exercises relative to the inner circle workouts usually. What happened? And I know you told me, but I want you to repeat it just because it's really important. You were at first nervous because there were less, but now what happened?
So basically, previously when I have like, so you usually structure your programs with a couple of supersets, two or three. And what I've noticed myself doing was I would basically save some of my energy so that I would basically survive the next superset. So I wouldn't push myself as hard as I would. Now with lesser exercises, I feel like I am going all out and I am as exhausted at the end of this workout as I am after a normal like inner circle workout, because I am pushing myself so much harder and lifting in a ton of more weight because I don't feel like, oh, I have to save myself for the next rounds. I was afraid that, okay, this is not going to challenge me at all. It's literally like four or five exercises on here. But yeah, no, 100%. This has brought strength
and really to a whole new level. And really the point that I'm glad that you brought up there and that I really wanted to make sure that people heard and really internalized was that a program with a lot of different exercises does not make it better than a program with four or five exercises. How it looks on paper does not make it good or bad. It really is the measure of a good program is the effect that it has at the end of the program. And the fact that you've been able to go from a program that might have, I don't know, like 8 to 12 different exercises to a program that has 4 to 5 different exercises, and you realize that the mental shift within that frame and then being able to go into it even harder gives you, it's shown you that you're stronger than you thought you were. And now you can attack this program differently. And every program has a different goal. And the fact that you can now see it's not about the number of exercises, it's about how effective they are put together and how much effort you can give to each one. It's huge. So I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's amazing. I'm so happy with it so far. And I can only imagine how much we'll be deadlifting in a 6-week period.
Diana, it's thank you awesome. For getting on the phone with me. I appreciate it. Do you want to share your Instagram or something so people, if they want to reach out to you?
Sure. On Instagram, you can find me at DePaula Diana. It's spelled DePauladayana. So, yeah, if you want to hook me up.
I love it. Thank you, Diana. Have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you soon, okay? Bye.
Okay, thank you.
That wraps up this episode of the mini podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, I would sincerely appreciate it if you took a couple seconds and left a review. They really do help a lot. If you have any questions, never hesitate to reach out. And if you're interested in joining the Inner Circle, you can always email me, jordan@sciatfitness.com. Put Inner Circle in the subject line. Have any questions, I'll answer them all for you. And I'll give you the application questions to see if it's a good fit. Hope you have a wonderful day. Talk to you soon.